I certainly desire an interest in your prayers tonight. I really hadn't intended to be up here, but I told the Lord if this is what He wants, I'm willing to do it. I want to say I appreciate the privilege of being here tonight. I feel very blessed of the Lord to have the privilege to stand before you once again. There were many times that I can tell you the enemy of my soul told me that I would never stand in this place. But I want to tell you, we still have a God that is on His throne. And I am very grateful for that tonight. I feel very indebted to the Lord and to His people for all that the Lord has done for me. And I appreciate that very much. I would like, by the help of the Lord tonight, to talk to us about some things that it's very important that you and I focus on if we endeavor to have an experience with the Lord that will remain true until the end. And one of those things is the importance of building on a solid foundation. There are some other things that are equally as important to that, and that is that we take heed how we build thereon, and also that we maintain what has been built. Dear ones, we are living in shaking times. Times when people's faith are being tried, not just tried, but severely tried. We're living in times where it seems like that people are being overwhelmed by things that are coming against them in their lives. Everywhere I turn, it seems like I hear and I encounter people that are feeling just overwhelmed by all the things that are happening in their lives. I was talking to a man at work here just recently, and he was telling me he's been going through a lot of things in his life, and he was telling me some things that they had gone through, but he was also telling me about another man, another family that they know. And he said they're a nice family. They're a Christian family, and he said they're just very nice. But he started telling me of just one thing after another that they had been experiencing. And then the father came down with an illness and nearly died and seemed like may have had a stroke right on top of all of that. And he wasn't able to function hardly at all. And in the middle of that, his son was killed in a tragic plane accident. And this man that was talking to me, he said, I don't know how in the world they are able to cope with all the things that have been happening to them. He said, it just seems like they're being overwhelmed and things are just happening. And he said, we've been going through a lot of things, but he said, I was sitting there talking to my wife and he said, we haven't gone through anything compared to this. Dear ones, these are the times that we're living in today. And it reminds me of a scripture that I'd like for you to turn with me in Revelations, the 12th chapter. In Revelations, the 12th chapter, and I'll start here in the 10th verse. And he said, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time. And it goes on and says, and the servant cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the covenant commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Dear ones, I want you to know something tonight. The devil is at war with the people of God. Not only with the people of God, but with every soul that recognizes their need of God. When a soul begins to get into a place that they begin to recognize that I am lost and I'm undone and I need God, and they begin to make a turn that direction, the devil is at war with their souls. If you want to just seem like go through life with nothing and you get on the Broadway to the devil's hell, it just seems like people are just going. What does the scripture say? There are no bands in their death. But I want to tell you, even those people, the devil, as he knows that his time is getting shorter and shorter, he is pushing and pushing, and he's doing everything he can to keep a single soul from making heaven. Dear ones, the devil is out to destroy us. He is out to devour every precious soul that he can. And when you look at this, he knows, as the scripture says there, that he hath but a short time. And it says he was wroth with the woman. Dear ones, the devil is angry. He is upset that those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb have overcame him, and he has lost that high and lofty place in the hearts and minds of those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I'm going to tell you, he's out to destroy us. He's out to get every soul that he can. And when you look at this, it says here in this 15th verse, and the servant cast out of his mouth water as a flood. And it said, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this is the time that we're living in right now today. The devil is doing everything that he can, and he's casting out all the things that he can to encompass about you and I and to devour us. An overwhelming flood that is coming out and trying to encompass you and I and to destroy us. There are things that seem like that there are people that everywhere, as I mentioned, that I look, they just feel like they're being overwhelmed. Some with the cares of life, just raising a family, jobs, people losing their jobs and worrying about their homes and their families and what they're going to do, sicknesses, trials, temptations. There's just so many things, fears of what's coming on in this world and all of these kind of things. There are things that the enemy just seem like sending out a flood to try to encompass and overflow every soul that he can. But I want you to look at this. In this 10th verse, dear ones, this is something that you and I need to get a hold of and hold it. This 10th and 11th verse, it said, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, and the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Dear ones, let's get a hold of this tonight. He said, now is come salvation. Not out there somewhere in another time. Not somewhere out in the future. But he said, now is come salvation and strength. Oh, dear ones, we don't have to be in a place where the enemy comes in and just casts us down and discouraged. Yes, there's things that we may face in life. But, dear ones, I want you to know, now is come salvation and strength. And the kingdom of our God. Oh, it's not out there sometime in a future time. But we can have the kingdom of God reigning within our hearts and lives today. And he said, in the power of his Christ. Oh, dear ones, this is how we overcome these things. This is the power that we have. It's not of us. There's not a soul in here that can overpower all the things of this overwhelming flood that the enemy is sending against us. But we have the power of his Christ. We have a powerful source, dear ones, that will enable you and I to stand right in the midst of all the temptations, of all the trials and all the persecution, everything that you face. Dear ones, we have something that we can have within us that will enable us to stand strong and true right in the midst of these. And it's the power of his Christ. And he goes on and he said, and they overcame him by their own strength. By their own power? No. He said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I want to tell you, dear ones, this is what God has done for me. That's what it does. When you get a hold of something down here in your heart where the Lord has worked in your soul, I'm going to tell you, there's a powerful testimony there because God has delivered me. When He gives you something solid to stand on, it's a foundation, dear ones, that is very, very important in our time today. And He said they overcame Him by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this is the secret. This is the secret. When you get a hold of the love of God in your hearts, and you love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, and when the devil comes in with all these things, and one thing happens, and another thing happens, and then you come home, and this happens, and something else, and it all just seems like it's just piling in. When you get that love burning deep in your soul, and God has perfected His love down in here, there's something that will say, "Yes, Lord." They said they love not their lives unto the death. When I have that kind of experience, dear ones, where I'm willing to go all the way regardless, that's the experience that Job had. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust Him." I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's hard for the enemy to be able to conquer a soul that has that settled down in their hearts. And that's what we need to have. He said here, and they overcame Him by the word of their testimony. And it said, and they love not their lives unto the death. Dear ones, may the Lord help us to recognize the power of His Christ. May the Lord help us to recognize and not to underestimate the power of our God. His ability to keep you and I right in the midst of this wicked world that we're living in today. Yes, it is a time where people's faith are being tried severely. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the enemy knows his time. He hath but a short time. And the things that he's doing against you and I and against the people in our world today, they're only going to get more and more fierce. As the battle gets hotter and hotter, and he recognizes that his time's short, he's going to fight harder and harder. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, remember this. He said, now is come salvation. And the kingdom of God and the power of His Christ. We need that solid foundation in our lives, dear ones. Because when we're in these times, when all of these things are happening and men's faith are being tried, when not only their faith, but I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we're living in times where the very core of our convictions and the foundation of people's beliefs are being questioned. Where we're living in times, dear ones, where people that do not have a solid foundation are finding themselves constantly evolving and changing in a world that is steeped in sin. We're living in times, dear ones, where people in high places and powerful positions are making choices and decisions that are not only causing confusion, but it's undermining the very fabric and foundation of our society. Lord, help us. If I deviate just a little bit here this evening, but I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when God created this world, He created mankind. And the Scripture says, male and female created He them. The Scripture also says that what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when God created this world, He intended for the family unit to be the very central part of His creation, the focal part of His creation. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the devil has fought it ever since the beginning of time. Not only has he been successful, far too successful, in my opinion, at destroying homes and families, marriages, but he's also been far too successful in getting many people in our world and in our nation today to accept things that deviate very far from the foundation that we're talking about here tonight. He's gotten people in our world accepting things like abortion. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you take a little baby. You look around here at some of these little babies and how innocent they are, how pure, how defenseless. And I can't imagine getting in such a place to where I can deviate so far from the Word of God that I can consider taking the life of an unborn child and think there's nothing to it. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we're in shaking times in our world today. We're in times where people are accepting things like abortion, same-sex marriage, and many other sinful lifestyles. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, unless you and I have a solid foundation that we are built upon, you and I can find ourselves. You say, oh, no, I'll never do that. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people today that said, I would never do that. But they have been swept away with the tide of the sinful things that are happening in our world today. And dear ones, unless you and I have this foundation, we're going to find ourselves being shaken as well. I'd like for you to turn with me, if you will, over here to Matthew. I'd like to look at a scripture in Matthew. I think it's in the 7th chapter. Matthew, the 7th chapter. This is a very familiar passage of scripture, I know. But I'd like to start here in the 24th verse. It says, therefore, whosoever keepeth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I know this is a story. It's a passage of Scripture that you and I have probably read and heard ever since we were a wee baby. But I want to focus on it tonight, dear ones, because it contains a lesson that is very valuable in our time today. It's a lesson that had many in our world today got a hold of this, it would have spared them the heartache and the trouble that they're in at this very moment. There are many people in our world today that are in deep trouble because they failed to get a hold of this simple lesson that Christ was trying to portray to us here in this scripture. What Christ was trying to get us to understand, dear ones, is the importance of building on a solid foundation. The Lord wanted you and I to get a hold of something. I looked up the word solid, and it says not hollow. Not something that's just empty. I'm going to tell you, I'd say there's none of us in here like to deal with someone that is, quote unquote, an empty suit. You begin to work with him and you find out they really don't know what they're talking about. They don't know anything. You've been on the job and you've run into people and they have a long title and lots of stuff behind their name. And you get to working with them and you think, now this is somebody that really knows. And you get to working with them and you find out they don't have a clue. They don't know anything. Is that someone you like to work with? It's not. Hollow or solid is something that Webster says is not hollow. But I want you to get a hold of this. It says something that is capable of resisting up to a certain limit the things that are designed to deform it. Something that is capable of resisting the things that are designed to deform it. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there are some things that are designed to deform you and I from the image that God created us in. There are pressures. There are things that come against you and I that are designed to shape us in a different image than what God intended for you and I to be in. It goes on and it says, not weak, light or flimsy. But it said sound, strong, stable. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's the kind of experience that we need in our world today. That's the kind of experience that you and I are going to have if we're going to be able to stand against the tide of this overwhelming flood that the enemy is trying to bring against you and I. Dear ones, we need a solid foundation to build upon. We need something that will do just exactly what Christ was talking about. Notice what he said here in this 25th verse. He said, now the rain descended. Now the rain descended. Now, I realize we haven't any of us around this area had much rain. And sometimes you can kind of forget what happens But when that rain begins to fall, what does it do? That ground out there that's so hard, what does it begin to do? It begins to soften, doesn't it? I'm going to tell you, in Oklahoma, in the dry, hot months of summer, that old ground can get mighty hard. You can go out there, and I've done it, and I'm sure those that have been there have done it. And you go out there, and you try to begin to dig in that old dry, hard ground. You just take your little old shovel out there, and it's almost like just trying to dig in this concrete. It'll just bounce off. It's hard. You just can't hardly dig in it. Well, when you begin to let the rain begin to fall, there's something that happens to that ground. That ground that was so hard that you could take and drive your vehicle across it nearly anywhere you wanted to go, when that rain begins to fall, it begins to soften that ground. I'm talking about a gentle soaking rain that we really want and need. When that rain begins to fall and it begins to soften that ground, I'm going to tell you there's places that ground was so hard you could drive across it anywhere you wanted to. You can't hardly walk across it without sinking in because there's something that happens. Well, you could take, in the dry, hot months of summer there in Oklahoma, and you could take and probably build a house just about anywhere out there without much of a foundation and maybe not have much of a problem. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when the rains begin to fall, you've got problems. When that rain begins to settle in, there's something that's going to happen. If that house doesn't have a solid foundation that's built on, that ground begins to shift and it begins to move, and you're going to have problems. Cracks are going to begin to appear in the sheetrock. There's going to be leaks that's going to begin to develop as the roof begins to sag and it begins to pull apart. And that rain begins to get in there and those leaks and deterioration begins to happen. Before long, that house will begin to crumble and it'll begin to fall. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the same thing happens spiritually. When you and I fail to build on a solid foundation, this same thing will happen spiritually. When you take that house and you build it and everything is looking good and it's out there and it's dry and it's hot and the ground's hard, and you build it and everything's looking good and that rain begins to fall. And those things happen, those doors that are designed to open and close, something happens, doesn't it? They begin to stick. And you go up there to open that door and it's hard to get it open. You try to go up there and close that door and you just can't get it closed. It's something is settled and it just won't open and close. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's the same thing that happens spiritually. When you and I build on a foundation that is not on Christ, when we build on something other than the Word of God, we're building on a shifting sand. And when the rains begin to fall, you'll begin to see some of these things begin to happen. You'll begin to see things not lining up like they should. You look at it and you say, well, wait a minute, that door is not lining up like it should. You begin to see in our spiritual lives, things not lining up like they should. Children, they begin to question what's going on. Mom and Dad goes to service and their hands are held high and they're praising God and they come home and their lives are not consistent. They're fighting and bickering and there's things that happen and the children are saying, something's not right. The neighbors are looking on and they're saying, these people, they're supposed to be good Christian people, but I don't know what's happened. There's something in their life. There's just something not right. On the job, when you get on the job and people say, oh, yeah, you go to church over so-and-so. And then about that time, you smash your thumb and something happens and something comes out and people say, whoa, where did you say you went to church? There's something wrong there. Something's not lining up, isn't it? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when we're not built on a solid foundation, people will begin to notice things happening in their lives. And they're not lining up. You begin to find that doors don't open and close like they should. You'll find that people are having a hard time just understanding simple principles of truth that have been taught and practiced by the people of God for generation after generation. You'll find people say, I just don't understand it. I don't see it. God has never showed it to me. You'll find pastors weeping and praying, Lord, help these people. Lord, we've got some sheep here that they're going to be in trouble one of these days. They need a solid foundation, weeping before the Lord and praying, and something happened. Doors aren't opening, closing. And as that pastor is praying, and Lord, somehow send something. Help them to understand this and get a vision of this. And the Lord will send a revival along. He'll send someone along. It may only be somebody come along on Wednesday night in prayer meeting. And they get up and they begin to testify and tell what the Lord did for them and how the Lord showed them. And it makes it so clear and so plain. And, oh, and the pastor looks around and says, oh, Lord, thank you. That's what I've been praying for. He looks around and where are they? They're not here tonight. This was just exactly what they needed, and they're not here tonight. Why? And then a few days later, you begin to see them, and, oh, I wish you could have been here. We had such a wonderful service. Yeah, I would have liked to have been there. Something just came up, and I just couldn't make it. Doors don't open and close, dear ones, like they should. Something is wrong. They just seem like, it just seemed like every time that the Lord is right there to give them exactly what they need, and something happens, and they're out of pocket. Something didn't, they're just not there. And yet on the other hand, you'll find that when the enemy comes along, it just seems like they can't get the door shut. It seemed like that you let something happen and there's an out-of-order service or someone come around and they're spewing all kinds of venom and you're thinking, oh, Lord, this is exactly what they don't need to hear. And you look around and of all times, Lord, if they could be missing today, and you look, and right there they are. It seemed like, Lord, what's happening here? It just seemed like you can't get the door closed when it needs to be closed. When temptations come and they're bombarded, and the enemy comes around, and it seems like they just can't get that door closed. And the enemy comes in and he begins to steal. He begins to steal their testimony. Then he begins to steal their purity and their power. And the next thing you begin to see is their spiritual house begins to crumble into decay. And you look on and you see this and you think, Lord, Lord, what is happening? And it's because somewhere along the line they didn't build on a solid foundation. The things that should have happened, the things that the Lord planned in their lives, and He was there to try to save them and to give them understanding, and it seemed like every time it just missed. And it's because somewhere along the line they refused to build on a solid foundation. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you look at this, you can begin to see. He says here in this 27th verse, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. And great was the fall thereof. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's a terrible thing when that happens. I thought about all the homes and businesses that have been destroyed just in the last 2 or 3 years by the floods, the tornadoes, the tsunamis, and all the other things that seemed like they were coming upon this earth. And I thought about those things and I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's a terrible thing to behold destruction of any kind. When the tsunami happened there in Japan, our local radio station had posted some video clips on their website of the destruction that happened. And I went out and looked at those things, and I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's a fearful and yet an awesome thing to see the power of that current as it comes in. That overflowing flood that began to creep in, it's a terrifying thing. I watched as that flood came in just slowly across the farmland and just kept coming and kept coming and encroaching upon the homes and villages and the towns and the cities. And you watched as that water came and it just kept coming and there'd be a house there and you'd see that house or building and it'd just shake a little bit and then all of a sudden it'd just crumble and it'd be gone. One after another. These weren't just little mud homes. Some of these were big, fine homes and buildings. There were some buildings in there that were office buildings and big buildings. And you looked at them. Some of these buildings, they were built a little better than some of the others. And that water came and it hit those buildings. And you'd see those buildings just kind of shudder. And then pretty soon you'd see the whole building. They were built more solid than some of these others. And the whole building just picked up and just like this, flowing with that current. And I'm going to tell you, those of you that are carpenters know that a house or a building is not built for this. They're not a boat. And when they get like this and they begin to do that, before long, that wrenching and tearing, the next thing you know, they too begin to crumble. And those that were even strong enough that held together, as they come along, you know what they were like? That wet, it picked that thing up and it was just like a ram and it just hit everything else and just disintegrated it until it too began to fall apart. Dear ones, when you watch something like that, it's a devastating thing. It's a powerful thing. But dear ones, I want you to know, sin is the same way. I want you to know tonight that sin will do the same thing. I have watched. I'm not an old man. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I have watched in my lifetime sin do this same thing to many people. I've watched as people that seem to be spiritually, very spiritual. In fact, they were people that had a great zeal for God. And they were out encouraging others to work for God and do things. And then along comes the tide, the temptations, the trials and the tests of life. And something happened. Remember what the scripture said? It said, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I'm going to tell you the sad thing, dear ones, is I've watched, and some of them fell so hard that they have never recovered. Dear ones, when you begin to take and you begin to see these things happen, it's a terrible feeling. When you begin to watch this overwhelming flood begin to creep in and it begin to destroy precious souls, when you begin to see these kind of things happening, when the storms are coming, it's a helpless feeling. It's a very helpless feeling to stand by and watch as that tsunami comes in and begins to encroach upon those homes and buildings and watch them as they begin to crumble and to fall apart. When you look at those things, it's just as helpless, dear ones, to stand by and see sin encroaching upon the lives of people. And watching as the pressures of life and the temptations, the trials and tests begin to take its toll and they begin to crumble and fall or begin to be carried away by this powerful current. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's more horrifying to watch as that wave begins to encroach upon people. Men and women, boys and girls. And you begin to watch them flee out of those homes and businesses and run for their lives. As I was watching some of that, perhaps some of y'all also saw it, there was one of the video clips that was made by someone probably with a cell phone. And they were standing up on this mountain, and you could see all these people up here on this mountain. And they were filming this, and you could see all down the valley, this village or town down there. And you could see in the distance this powerful wave just coming slowly. Just keep coming. And as you saw that coming, you could see that there were people that were up here on the mountain, and yet there were still a lot of people that were down there, and they were fleeing ahead of this thing. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it was a horrifying thing to watch. I listened to that, and those people up on the mountain were there, and you could hear the screams and the cries as they were calling to loved ones that were down there to run. And you could see these people, and there were people just like you and I, men, women, families, children, And you could see them, and they were grabbing their children, and they were running for all they could. And this wave just constantly just keeping coming right after them. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it was a horrifying thing to watch as that wave just come. And some of them, and you never saw them again. And I watched as some of them, they were running, and some of them, the wave came, and some of them just barely got to the mountain just as that wave come on around. And you could hear all the cries and the screams of all these people. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's a terrible feeling. And as I watched that, I watched there was one man that was out there as that wave came in. And they were filming that, and this man was on a rooftop. And he was there, and it was just the roof. And it was being tossed with that, and you could see him, and he was trying to balance, and he was looking at the land, and he kept watching around, and it was getting closer and closer, and he was so close. In my mind, I was thinking he kept looking over at the land like, do I just jump in? But the water was just, it was just whirling around, and there was buildings and all this debris. It wasn't safe. And I was watching, I thought, it's going to get close enough, he can jump to land. And about that time, a building just came by, and that was the last I saw of him. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you see those kind of things, it's a terrible thing. It reminds me of a scripture over here in Jeremiah. If you'll turn with me to Jeremiah, the 47th chapter. Jeremiah, the 47th chapter, in the first verse, and it said, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, against the Philistines, before that Pharaoh smote Gaza. Thus saith the Lord, behold, waters rise up out of the north, and shall be an overflowing flood, and shall overflow the land, and all that is in therein, the city, and them that dwell therein. The men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the land shall howl, and the noise of the stamping of the hoofs of his strong horses, at the rushing of the chariots, and of the rumbling of his wheels. The fathers shall not look back to their children for feebleness of hands. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's a terrible place to be in. Now, I want you to picture these people in this tsunami and this wave encroaching. As these families that are there are fleeing for their lives, and they're picking up their little children, like these little children here, and running. Think about being in that place, dear ones, and knowing, I don't have time to look back. I can't even afford to look back and see where the wave is. And one of your children stumbles and falls, and you know, if I stop, we're all gone. What are you going to do in a place like that? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's a terrible place to be in. But that's the place sin will get you in. There are many souls that have taken and stayed too long in sin. And when they begin to realize what was happening, they begin to flee. They had loved ones. They had loved ones there that made it difficult, very difficult, to make that decision to go. Dear ones, it's one thing to watch as buildings and homes are destroyed, but it's a horrifying thing to watch as souls are being encompassed in this overwhelming flood that is coming upon them. When you begin to look at that, it's an awful thing to hear those cries. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's just as awful to watch as sin encroaches upon the lives of men and women, boys and girls. To hear the cries of parents, of grandparents, of husbands and wives, of children, because of the terrible effects that sin has had upon their lives. To hear those children as they cry, why's daddy not come home? Why's mama not come home anymore? Why are they always fighting and arguing? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's a very helpless and it's a frustrating thing to stand by helplessly and watch as sin encroaches upon the lives of people. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's happening every day. It's something that when you look at this and you look out and you begin to see that happening, you want to do something. It is so helpless feeling. It's such a frustrating feeling. I'll just be honest with you. Because there's times that you want to take and do something. I can't see them just be overwhelmed by that flood of water. I've got to do something to save them. And I'm going to tell you, it's just as frustrating, dear ones, when you see sin destroying the lives of people and encroaching upon them, and you've warned them, and the messages go forth time after time, and yet they seem to not hear the warning. And you begin to see what's happening, and you just want to take them and shake them and say, can't you see what's going to happen to your children? Can't you see what's going to happen to your marriage? Can't you see what's happening? The devil is about to destroy you. But you can't. You can't do it for them, dear ones. I want to tell you, when that tsunami was coming in, and it was taking and overwhelming these villages, and these people were fleeing for their lives, what can you do? If you're the one that's down there fleeing for your life, the only thing that you can do at that point is to flee as fast as you can and to beg God. Cry out, God, have mercy, and flee. Don't look back. Don't even pause to reconsider, should I leave or not? What you have to do is be willing to flee for all that you can. I want you to remember what happened to Lot's wife when she paused. One pause may be the very thing that cost you and I heaven. It may be the very thing that cost us our family, our home, our happiness. If a person is in that place, the only thing they can do is flee. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you flee and one of the children stumbles, I can't describe to you the pressure that you're going to be under. But I'm going to tell you, when you get to that place and you begin to recognize that what Satan is on your trail, you're going to have to be willing to go. You're going to have to cut ties and you're going to have to go for all that you can. You say, I can't do that. I'm going to tell you, that's a hard place, but sin will put you in that place. It's a cruel taskmaster. And you will find yourself in a place of having to make a decision. Am I going to go or not? But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there's nothing anyone else can do. They can stand up there. If you're the people that are on the mountain, all you can do at that point is cry out to them, run, 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 flee for your life. And pray and plead with God to have mercy upon their souls. There's nothing else that you can do. To go down there is certain destruction. At this point, as that wave is encroaching upon them, it's too late at that point. The only thing you can do is stand there and pray and beg God to have mercy on their souls. I'm going to tell you, sometimes you may feel like there's no hope. But I want to encourage you, dear ones, there's hope in God. There is hope in God. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that while it's impossible for you and I to do it, and it may look impossible for man, all things are possible to God. When you listen to the stories of those floods, you will hear, besides all the destruction, you will hear an account here, an account there, where God in His mercy somehow miraculously saved a soul. And I'm going to tell you, it's God in His mercy miraculously saved a soul. That man I told you about that went down that was on that rooftop, there's other stories of a man that was washed way out to sea on a rooftop, and he survived. Was it through his skill? No. It was the mercies of God. And so I want to encourage you this evening, don't ever lose hope. If you're the one that's on the mountaintop, so to speak, and you're looking on at loved ones, don't ever lose hope. Keep praying and begging God to have mercy. As long as there is life, there is hope. And God is able to work exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. If you're the one that's down there and you recognize that this flood is about to overwhelm you in your life, don't lose hope. Don't just stop and think, Lord, I just waited too long. I want to encourage you to cry out to God and run for all that you can do, because there's hope in God. There is hope in salvation this evening. He said, now is come salvation. In the kingdom of our God, strength in the power of His Christ. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we serve a mighty God. I stand here before you tonight because of the power of God. And I'm going to tell you, He can do more than heal bodies. He can heal broken hearts. He can heal lives that are steeped in sin. He can take lives that have been wrecked, and He can put them up, the pieces back together again. Dear ones, we serve a mighty God. And I want to encourage you tonight, it's not too late to call upon God. I want you to turn with me now. Lord, help us. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians. We'll look at the scripture. I said that one of the things besides building on a solid foundation that is important is taking heed how we build thereon. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter in the 10th verse. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Dear ones, my burden this evening is that God would impress upon each of our hearts not only the importance of building on a solid foundation, but the importance of taking heed how we build thereon. Dear ones, Christ is the only foundation that we can build upon. Young people, middle-aged and older ones alike, we all need to get this fixed and settled in our hearts and minds. Christ is the only foundation. Don't let anyone else convince you of anything else. And dear ones, our lives are going to have to measure to the life of Christ. We're going to have to measure to the Word of God as He gave it to us in His Word. Don't let anyone come and try to tell you that this Word is too confining. That the commandments and the teachings that Christ gave us while He was here, that we've got better understanding now. You don't have to do that. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we need to build on the foundation. If this right here is the foundation, that's where we need to line up. We need to make sure that our life lines up exactly with the Word of God. Don't take and think, well, that's so confining, and I think I'll expand it this way. And I'll expand it this way and this way, and I'll have most of it here, but I'm just going to have outriggers over here. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when the rains come, you're going to suffer loss. When you build out and you've got it here, this may be solid here, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. This is going to begin to settle. At best, what you're going to do is you're going to spend all of your time patching up your experience. Cracks are going to begin to develop. There's going to be things that are going to happen when the trials and tests of life come, and you're going to find cracks right here and right here and right here. Every place that's outside of the Word of God. And you're going to find yourself constantly, I've got to fix this. This don't look good. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we need to build on Christ. Christ is the only foundation that you and I can build upon. His Word is the only foundation that we can build upon. And when we deviate from that, we're asking for problems. Because when that happens, we're going to find that things are going to happen and the doors are going to stick. And things are not going to work like they're supposed to. And when we get down in the battle and the trial, and we're needing help from God, and we're praying and looking to the Lord, and Lord, I've got to have you, We're going to find that doors aren't opening like they should be. Prayers aren't being answered for some reason because somewhere we've built outside of the foundation of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, as equally as important as building on Christ, we need to be very, very careful that we take heed how we build thereon. Because this foundation has been laid. And there's no other foundation that is designed to be able to resist the pressures that are going to come against it. There is no other foundation, dear ones, that is going to be able to help you and I to stand when we get into those places and that overwhelming flood begins to come against us. Christ is the only one. Notice what he said here. He said, let every man take heed. What? How he builds thereon. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, mom and dad can't build it. The pastor can't build it. There's no one else that can build your house for you. The foundation has been laid. All that they can do is point you to the foundation. This is where it's at. This is where the Lord has worked in my life. This is what the Scripture says. And I'm going to tell you, this is a solid foundation. But they can't build your house for you. You're going to have to build it. He said, let every man take heed how he builds thereon. And dear ones, there's something else that we need to recognize. What you and I are building today is going to impact how we build tomorrow. And it's going to impact whether we are going to be able to stand when those floods come. I can't take and on this foundation build wood and stubble and hay up to this point and then come up here with gold and silver. You know what I'm talking about. I can't go out there and build a house and say, I'm going to put bales of straw around here for the first layer and I'll put blocks on top of that. It ain't going to work, is it? Dear ones, how you and I are building today is going to impact how we build tomorrow. Because it doesn't matter when I get up here and I get to building this and things begin to shift, I'm going to have to say, well, this ain't working. Now I've got to go over here and I've got to tie off to this and I've got to do that. Because somewhere along the line, I didn't build it right here. We're going to have to take heed how we build thereon. And how I build today is going to affect how I build tomorrow. It goes on here in 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, in this 13th verse. He said, every man's work shall be made manifest. Yours, 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 mine. Every man's work is going to be made manifest. How I've built my life, what I've put into that in my spiritual experience, it's going to be made manifest. I can't blame it on the preacher. Maybe the preacher, I hope not. If you've been a place, someplace, you say, well, this is what, I still can't blame it. I've got the Word of God. There's not going to be any excuses then. Every man's work is going to be manifest. How he built. And dear ones, you and I are going to stand before an almighty God that's going to see through everything. There's nothing hid. There's no excuses. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, even before that time, I have found that there are things that come in every one of our lives that will make manifest how we built. There will be things that come our way. I'm not here tonight, dear ones, to try to scare you. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there is an overwhelming flood that is coming into every one of our lives. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we're at war with the enemy of our souls, and he is out to destroy us. There is not a single one under the sound of my voice tonight that the enemy is not out for your soul. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, he's going to do everything he can to see that you end up in the place that he is at. In a devil's hell. There's an overwhelming flood that is designed not only to deform us from the image of purity and holiness that God intended for us to be in, but that overwhelming flood is designed to destroy every one of us. And dear ones, like I said, my intent is not to scare us, but to encourage us to prepare for that time. I'm going to tell you, I mentioned a while ago What can you do when that tsunami is encroaching upon those people? And I think you agree with me that there's nothing more than what we talked about, crying out to God for mercy. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you get to that place and that overwhelming flood is there, and it's there and it's encroaching upon them, there's a terrible feeling that will come over you at that point. And my burden this evening is to help you and I prepare. What I was going to tell you is at that point, when that thing is coming in on them, at that point, it's too late to begin to talk to them about building up here on higher ground. It's too late then to begin to talk to them about building on a solid foundation. It's too late at that point to begin to even talk to them about how they should have built their house. Because none of that matters at that point. Because now it's encroaching upon them. My burden this evening, dear ones, is to be able to encourage each and every one of us to recognize, and that God would impress upon our hearts and minds the desperate need to prepare now for that time. To take heed how we build. To make sure that we're built on a solid foundation. That our life lines up in every way with the life of Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, in anything that it doesn't, we're going to suffer loss. And it's too late when we get to that point to begin to talk about, you know, this is what the Scripture says, and this is really what you should have done. Do you know that it's fruitless then to do that? At that point, all you can do is helplessly stand by and watch and cry out to God to have mercy upon their poor lost soul. Dear ones, I can't even get the words to express it, the depths that I have it in my heart. It is utterly important for you and I to make sure that we've built on a solid foundation. It is utterly important for you and I. It is so, so desperately, dear ones, important for us to take heed how we're building thereon. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's also, and I don't have time for that tonight, but it's also very, extremely important for you and I to maintain what has been built. I can take and build on a solid foundation. I can measure my life to the Word of God. Lord, carefully and prayerfully, Lord, this is your word, and I want to measure to it. I want, in every way, I want to measure to the word of God. And I can take and make sure, by the help and grace of God, and humbly praying, that my life is built on a solid foundation. And I can take and go through the word of God, and I can say, Lord, help me to know how to live my life, and to build my spiritual experience so it's solid, and it's something that's pleasing to you. And I can take and very carefully build gold and silver, as the Scripture talks about, and making sure it's solid and something that's lined up perfectly as I come up. And I can get it all built up. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I can get to a place where a year, 6 months, 3 months, 2 months, a week, before the flood comes, if I fail to maintain what has been built. Do you know what happens to these houses and these buildings if we fail to maintain them? Paint begins to deteriorate. The wood begins to rot. The shingles begin to deteriorate. Leaks begin to develop. Have you ever driven down the road and looked and said, oh, look at that old barn and that old house. It's just about to fall in because it's not being maintained. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if we're here tonight and we've tried and we've endeavored to live according to the Word of God, we can't stop. We need to continue to maintain what the Lord has revealed to each one of us in our lives. We need to maintain those things that God has given to us and to those that have gone before us. And we need to be very careful. Lord, I don't want to take and allow anything to happen to where sin can begin to encroach and begin to penetrate into my heart and life. Because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when that happens, he said, when the rains came and the house fell, and great was the fall of it. I'm going to tell you, I can't think of anything more awful than to have taken and spent a lifetime building according to the Word of God, only get to a point to where I get a little lax. I've got it made. And I get a lax in my prayer life. I begin to look at things, well, it's not, you know, I did all this, but it's not as important. Only to find that sin begins to encroach. And when that happens, I begin to crumble. And I find myself unprepared to meet God. Dear ones, may the Lord help us this evening and impress upon our hearts the importance of building on a solid foundation, of taking heed how we build thereon, and of maintaining what the Lord has given to you and I that is very precious. Because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there is nothing better when the storms come than to have a foundation that is steadfast and sure. And when that rain is pouring in, coming around, to know that I'm dry and I'm safe. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's the place that God has for you and I. And as the enemy waxes worse and worse, and he begins to fight harder and harder, and as conditions in our world get worse and worse, and people are shifting, and by all the tides of sin, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's even more and more important for you and I to take heed how we build thereon and to have a solid experience in our lives in living for the Lord. I don't want to stand by, and I don't want you to stand by and watch me as that tide comes in and say, I wish he'd listened to the warning. I wish he'd listened to the warning. Do you know the thing that has haunted me different times as I have thought about those people down there? Is I looked at all those people that were up on higher ground. And I thought, how is it that these people made it and those people didn't? Did they not heed the warning when it came? These people, you could tell they didn't live. Some of them didn't live there. Some did. But some of them had fled and they made it. And some of them were still down there just now coming out of their homes. Did they not get the warning? Or did they not heed it? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that sends terror through me. And my burden tonight is make sure that we get the warning. I don't want that on me that someone's there and say, I never heard. I didn't know. And dear ones, I don't want you to be in that place either. And I don't want to be there. May the Lord help us tonight to recognize how desperately we need to build on this solid foundation. And dear ones, if we find ourselves in a place where our life is not measuring up to the life of Christ, I want to encourage you tonight, today. This is the time, dear ones, to begin to think about the importance of building on this solid foundation. And this is the time to think about the importance of taking heed what we're doing and what we're allowing in our lives. This is the time, dear ones, that you and I desperately need to take heed of how we're maintaining our walk with God, because the flood's coming and we need to be ready. Appreciate your attention tonight.